Good morning. Welcome to the Josephine County Board of Commissioners weekly business session. Today is June 15th, 2016. It's 9 a.m. If you'll please stand, we'll say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, first on the agenda this morning, we have item 1A, approval of order number 2016-022 in the matter of the regulation of motor vehicle parking on Turtle Lane. Commissioner Hare.
Madam Chair, this is an item that is very parallel next to the two other designations that we did adjacent to Enos Riffle and Tom Pierce Park. The whole point is to improve the safety element of the access points to either one of those facilities. I think it was misconstrued at the last meeting where we did this, talking about logging trucks or such being parked next to Enos Riffle. That isn't the case. That those vehicles, large vehicles, do use these thoroughfares, and in a number of cases, there's a lot of pedestrian traffic and other things that exacerbates a problem of safety in those areas. And so the whole point is within 300 feet on this particular one, adjacent to this park on Turtle Lane, will be posted no parking signs, and this order provides for the authority of the parks director to designate staff to enforce that. It's important that park staff have the ability to do this enforcement element outside of the park, as we don't have the resources in our sheriff's department to necessarily enforce this no parking area.
Thank you.
Turtle Lane is where?
I believe it's out towards the fish hatchery. Park.
I mean, for people, it's not a common street for me. Other people might want to.
No, it's just an access point for that park.
Okay, item 1B, approval of order number 2016-023 in the matter of proceedings to legalize a portion of Allen Creek Road, County Road number 3410, to schedule a public hearing and directing a notice of hearing. Commissioner Hare.
Yes, this was an item that was initiated by the board some months ago. It was to legalize a portion of Allen Creek Road, Allen Creek from basically 199 to Denton Trail. That portion is proposed for a project by the city to develop that and bring it up to city standard. Going through that project, we discovered that the portion of the road is not necessarily consistent with what the survey of the easement says. So rather than moving the designation of the road to the appropriate place as it's surveyed, we move the survey to match where the road is. So basically, we're looking for a 40-foot right-of-way, 20 feet on either side of the center line, and that will be the designated thoroughfare for the road. As it's been, one of the things that's important, it's been used for that purpose for at least 10 years, and so unchallenged, it's just the new established thoroughfare. And this is setting a hearing on Wednesday, July 20th, 2016, right here at the Ann Basker on this issue. This needs to be done. It's really important for people to understand this. This needs to be done regardless of the project. So this certainly helps facilitate the project being proposed, but it would need to be done regardless of whether or not that project was even proposed to be done next year, 10 years, or 100 years from now. We have to reflect the actual place that the road is encumbering. So,
I think maybe I misunderstood the way you stated it. The legalized right-of-way shall be established as 40 feet in width, 20 feet on each side of the center line.
Hopefully I said something similar to that, but that is the case. It's
thought you said 40 feet each side of the center line.
No. The width right-of-way is 40 feet total. It's 20 feet on either side of the center line.
It's easy to be thinking one thing and we say something else.
Absolutely,
sometimes.
and that is not the proposed width. I think the board has directed the city staff and Public Works to really try to work within the smallest confined right-of-way for the proposed designation. The typical right-of-way in areas around that Allen Creek intersection is 74 feet. It'll have curb gutter sidewalk on either side, a 3-foot at least a 3-foot, I think it's closer to a 5-foot planter strip barrier, and then the sidewalk. And we've requested that they limit that to as close to 60 feet, which is the minimum potential thoroughfare that they could do, as possible, and that's the plan that they're moving forward on. So,
thank you.
Not to confuse things, but this is just a 40-foot designation.
Thank you. Okay, item 1C, approval of request for position change in juvenile justice. This is Commissioner Heck.
Yes, as everybody is aware, the Juvenile Justice Department is having to struggle with some very limited funds and trying to stretch that dollar as far as can be stretched. And Jim Goodwin has done a masterful job of being the stretcher. And he is facing an issue where he has lost, due to retirement and or leaving, two employees, one senior person, a department lead, and also another person working in the department, and wanting to try to, which then backs up, which means that Jim is supervising all of these different departments, and he has finally cried uncle and said that this is really not possible for him to do well. So he's trying to take and fill up the gap by taking and hiring another worker, but the worker is basically going to be paid out of the monies left over from the 1.5 workers that have left, and he's going to move into a supervisorial role as well. The difference of the whole situation is about a $393 a month change as far as the new supervisor would be. That has been put into the budget for the 2016-17, so this reflects basically the agreement of the board that yes, this is a good supervisorial decision, and it is fundable through the budget.
Thank you. Okay, we will go to our requests and comments from citizens. When you come to the mic, please state your name and your address. Speak into the microphone. You are addressing the board, so please face forward so the sound will pick up on the microphone. And state your name and your address. I think I said that. So we'll start on this side over here. Anybody here? Mr. Ford.
Madam Chair, may I make just a quick clarification just for that Allen Creek? I wanted to specify it's from West Harbeck Road and continuing south approximately 2,700 feet to the intersection of Allen Creek Road and Denton Trail, just to make sure that I misspoke and said 199.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Ford.
Larry Ford, 136 Ferry Road, Grants Pass. A couple things. I'm glad to see that you're moving forward on the parking outside the parks. I know the main emphasis is on safety, but I think secondarily, and I happen to be on the Parks Board, is the Parks Department depends on those fees to maintain the parks, and we have a certain number of people who have chosen to utilize the facility and not help pay for it. And as Commissioner Harris mentioned several times, it's really not very expensive to use it. You can pay a day fee, you can get a yearly pass, or you can do work in the park and get a pass for free. So it seems kind of ludicrous to me that people choose not to support our park system. So I'm glad to see this is moving forward. The second thing is, I think one of the problems the county is going to have moving forward is going to be on the cannabis regulations. Similar to what happened out on in the Merlin area a few years ago, where we had one person did all their due diligence, got all their fees to start they provide, you know, gardening supplies and rock, and the guy right next to him did none of that. And so it's, you know, not fair, and I think you're going to find that's happening already in our county. There are people going in and putting in fencing, putting up, you know, greenhouses, and I'm sure they're growing either medical or recreational marijuana in those, and they're not getting their permits. I don't know, it's with, you know, the state of our county sheriff's department, how we're going to enforce those without, you know, more due diligence on, I guess it's going to end up being on the citizens whether they want to turn them in or not, but it is going to be a problem. It already is a problem in this county. I drive around and I see places where, you know, these grow sites are going up, and I'm quite sure that at least two of them that I know about have no permits at all. It is going to be a problem in this county for those that choose to do it properly and those that choose not to. So it is going to be something that's going to, I think, come up on the radar for the county in the coming months and years. Thank you.
Anyone else on this side? No? Okay. Dale Matthews?
Dale Matthews, Grants Pass. Well, the city council and the staff actually made a mistake that was revealed this month. People make mistakes. It's human. I make them all the time, don't we all? It was the way that they're dealing with the mistake that's causing some of the controversy. As it turns out, one of their appointed counselors never should have been appointed because she doesn't live in that ward. That's a bit of a problem because she was involved in several votes. So the city council decided that she must step down from her position. It was Mark Bartholomew, the city attorney, that said, well, one of the ways to deal with this is we could take the boundaries of the ward and expand them out so that they would include where she lives. What? No. There's going to be someone else that's running in that ward, and one of the things he suggested, at least if I can interpret what he said, is that that person would run with the current boundaries and that this lady, who was not supposed to be included, would be included because just for her, they would expand out the boundaries to include where she lives. This is a really bad solution. The thing is that the city attorney then said, well, we could actually argue that we're not doing anything because she never should have been there in the first place. Yeah, we're going to argue that we're not really doing anything. You know, they could take some lessons from these county commissioners. They could hold up a piece of paper saying this is what the state rule is when that's not what that piece of paper says. They could insist that the official records had been tinkered with and that somebody put words in their mouth and that's not actually what they said. Or they could cut off the microphone and say and make it impossible for someone to bring forward the truth. They could do all of those things. So they could really learn a lesson from our current county commissioners about how to pursue the path of no integrity. They've got a lot to learn.
Back to the board. Okay. I'll entertain. Anyone wish to comment before we go on to motions?
No.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion on item 1A.
Madam Chair, I'd make a motion to approve order number 2016-022 in the matter of the regulation of motor vehicle parking on Turtle Lane.
And I'll second that.
Motion and second. Any further discussion?
No, I just want to thank the staff working with planning and everybody who was involved. It's amazing. You can't just do something like this, and it seems very simple, but at the end of the day, nothing is simple, and Public Works and the Parks Department worked pretty diligently on this to get it done.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Hare.
There is challenging down there. Yes.
Commissioner Hare.
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries. Item 1B.
And I'll move for approval of order number 2016-023 in the matter of proceedings to legalize a portion of Allen Creek Road, County Road number 3410.
Second.
I have a motion and a second.
Really important that we talk about in scheduling the public hearing. That's the whole
point. Yes, that's what
I was going to say after the semicolon.
Semicolon. And a breath because you don't want to cough.
That's right.
There you go.
There is a scheduled public hearing. Well, not yet scheduled, but this will allow for scheduling of public hearings and directing notice of hearing.
This does schedule the public hearing for July 20th.
Thank you.
2016 at 9 a.m. in the Ambassador. I will second that motion.
Okay. Motion and a second. Any further discussion?
No.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries. Item 1C, approval request for position change in juvenile justice.
And Madam Chair, I will so move that we approve the request for position change in juvenile justice.
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion?
Nope.
Okay. My comments were basically when I'm talking about it, reflecting upon the needed flexibility, but also the good supervision of the juvenile department being provided by Jim Gooden.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, motion carries. Moving on to the consent calendar. Pardon me. Item 3A, various minutes, executive session, the open portion on May 25th, 2016, county administration workshop, May 26th, 2016, general discussion, 11 a.m. on May 31st, general discussion, 3 p.m. on May 31st, weekly business session, June 1st, county administration workshop, June 2nd, general discussion on June 2nd. And I really appreciate the staff getting these minutes done very quickly. That's good work. Thank you.
Would be fair to include the all of those were 2016. You just stopped at June 1st, June 2nd.
Oh, I'm sorry, 2016. Yeah. Yes, I didn't see the year. Thank you. Okay, item 3B, order number 2016-024 in the matter of application of road name change for White School Road, waiver of planning department fee. And that is, I think that was in the paper too, the issue whether it's White Schoolhouse Road or White School Road. There were differing names in different departments. And so that's going to be changed to White Schoolhouse, correct?
That is. This is a request by the planning department, Mr. James Black, to waive the fee. When the board entertained this request by the citizen group that's organized out there by Mr. Paul Simon, the board agreed to waive that fee as they were not necessarily responsible for this name confusion, but brought it to the county's attention, and I think it's our responsibility to try to refine that confusion and to basically reflect the general nature of what the people out there believe the name to be. And it's really not, in my opinion, the research that I've done, which is several hours, more than I would have liked to, but it was kind of interesting, going back to the early 1900s, it's not definitive what the name actually should be, and it isn't recorded anywhere specifically by an order of the board that says this is the name of White Schoolhouse Road. When I checked in with the clerk, the surveyor's office, and others, there are references to what the name is, and sometimes that's reinforced, but it's not definitive anywhere. My dad, being one of the older members of the culture out there, says that originally it was White School Road, but people who have come there since then have affinity for the White School House. It used to be white. It's being painted red almost as we speak, and I don't even know if that's the same building was there when Lorna Byrne was teaching, but anyway, changing it to White School House Road, which everybody understands that's the name, who lives out there. The petition that was signed by most of the property owners want this to happen. I think the thing to reference is the fact that this is a proposed $1,500 fee, and when I've been explained how much effort, maybe this is a simple one, there isn't necessarily $1,500 worth of work being done. This is something that I think the board had requested about a year ago to take a look at comprehensively the fee structures for not just planning, but also how it dovetails with the assessor's office, building and safety, public works. There's a whole potential for people to be charged at every step of the way, and nobody who's really evaluating, well, what does it cost to just do this? And I think that that's really important for people to understand that's one of the directives I think we've had on the books for a while, but we needed a planning director to kind of facilitate that, to look comprehensively as if somebody comes in with an intent to do this and they go through all these four different departments, what is it actually costing at the end of the day to accomplish something that may or may not reflect the actual what we're expecting it to cost? So anyway, that was a long-winded version to say that I think that this makes for a good point that we need to look at, that at broader fee structures, schedules.
I think, too, that there was some confusion when people would call in emergency to 911 and they'd say, I'm on White School Road.
That's absolutely right.
I'm on White Schoolhouse Road, and the map is showing White School Road.
Catalyst.
And so it was causing some confusion also in regards to dispatching.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that actually occurred. That was mm-hmm. a catalyst to bring us all right. about to change
was,
the name.
Yeah, valuable time mm-hmm. kind of, I would say, wasted on the discussion of the location of this resident who lives on White School Road or White Schoolhouse Road. And 911 dispatch has it in their system as White School Road. And the constituent, having lived there for 20, 30 years, knows it as White Schoolhouse Road. There's a schoolhouse road or something that's confusing up in Merlin. So it's really important when you're talking to 911 dispatch, are you directing them down south?
When
are you directing
coming
them
for you.
Yeah, up north. Those are really important. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Item 3C, amendment to the lease agreement with the State of Oregon DEQ for lease of office space in the planning department. The DEQ isn't here all the time. They have space within our planning department, and they pay a small fee. I can't remember what it is. Let me see if I can.
I think it's $88 a month.
$88 a month, yeah.
$1,059.
Right. And to have that space so that people will have access to them through our planning department. Item 3D, resolution number 2016-046 in the matter of a reappointment to the Grants Pass Advisory Board. And this is for another four-year.
It's Andreas Black, and it expires June 15th, 2020.
Right. Andreas started, wasn't he appointed for a partial term, as I recall?
I think he was.
Or he was an alternate. And then he stepped into the position, and now he is going to be reappointed to a regular four-year term to expire June 15 of 2020. Whoa, 2020.
Isn't that crazy? I thought the same thing.
That's a TV program.
Yeah, 2020. Okay.
And he's representing, that's the word I was looking for, he's representing the civic and business interest at the airport.
Yes. We have different represent on our various boards. There are people that represent different sectors of our community, and so this one is the business. All right.
I'd make a motion, Madam Chair, to approve the consent calendar, which is comprised of items 3A, B, and A, B, C, D.
A, B, C, D. Thank you. Do I have a second? Okay. Any other further discussion on these?
I just
items?
Wanted to mention on item number C. This is something that we entered into an agreement with DEQ a number of years ago. Why are we subletting to a state organization? Otherwise, for an element of service. People who are looking to acquire permits through DEQ and having to go through that bureaucratic rigmarole would have had to go to Medford. They were looking to consolidate all of their offices over there. And but for the county making space in our planning office, that's exactly where people would have to go. But more often than not, you're coming into the planning office to start that application anyway. So it makes a lot of sense to be able to just go from that front desk over to the person from DEQ, and so we want to make sure that that's available for our constituents. We don't have anything to do with the DEQ other than just providing them space, much like the Water Master in our planning office, so that people have more of a one-stop shop. That's kind of what we're looking to aspire to, so it's convenient for people who are applying to do an inconvenient application process as convenient as possible. So that's it
Thank
in
you.
A nutshell.
Okay. No further discussion? Roll call, please.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries. Any other business of the board?
I have none.
I have none.
All right. Moving on to other matters from the commissioners.
I just want to reemphasize, Madam Chair, if I may, that people who are going to be taking advantage of the Josephine County Park system, and so that's separate than a lot of other the city parks or the federal parks, BLM run. It's really important that everybody kind of take ownership of these facilities. We have a new parks manager who is just, I'd say, on fire to try to make these parks facilities as nice and conducive to constituents' enjoyment as absolutely possible. And I feel the frustration for her every day of trying to go through our even internal bureaucratic process of trying to get things done, drop toilets over at the Glees. We've been working on that for a year. Actually, it's probably been in excess because we had to make sure that our easement footprint was accurate. And It's just been one thing after the other. I'm really excited about the plans that she's looking to try to accomplish at the Wolf Creek Park. There's actually going to be some revenue generated by a timber sale locally right next to the park. It shouldn't have any visual impact on the park at all. It's going to be done on a very sustained basis, and I just think that she's going to take our park system to the next level. And we don't hand out bonuses here at the county for the work that the managers do or even the staff. We just don't do that. So these kinds of accolades are pretty much all that they get, and they're not fiscally. They're just really trying to positively reinforce the activities. She's not the only manager that's doing great things on behalf of the county. She's a new manager and doesn't know the word no. I hope she doesn't learn that. Unfortunately, she applied for some grants at the state level and was not accepted. But 7 out of the 18 grants that were approved were reapplications. So they were applications that board had already seen once before. So it doesn't mean when you hear no that the answer is going to be no forever. And I think she understands that. And hopefully she can be patient with those processes. But we have a property sale that's taking place right here at the Anbasker tomorrow at 11 a.m. All of the information that you would need to know to participate is online. And there's about 14 or 15 properties that are county-owned properties that have been acquired through foreclosure from a number of different years ago. And there's no cookie cutter to what they are. They're all different styles of properties. But they can be yours if the price is right tomorrow at 11 a.m. Right here in the Anbasker. You need to bring 20% of the proposed payment on that day, and then you have I believe it's 24 hours, 48 hours. All the rules. Don't take anything I say to gospel. It's all online. But you'll have some other time to make up the difference, and that property can be yours. They're sold as is. And all of the revenue minus administrative fees that are state statutorily provided for will be given to the Parks Department, held in trust to use as match funds for grant applications. Has to go back into infrastructure, capital infrastructure. Can't be used for organizational purposes. And that's all required by state statute. When we foreclose on a property, we have three options. Four really, because we've kept these properties for quite some time, which we would prefer not to do because they're liability sitting on the books. The other item is that we can divest ourselves of those through this process, which is very lengthy and has to be gone through quite diligently. But we can sell those properties, and the revenue can either go back to parks or forestry. That's state statute provided. The third option is that we can sell those properties outright, and the revenue is distributed to the taxing districts that have an interest in that property. So depending on where it is, if it's outside the city limits, that property would go be distributed based on the percentage of the taxes to those entities. The county roughly gets 8.2% if you include the jail bond. It's 7.9% if you don't. So you can see we don't generate a lot of money. Out of $100,000, we generate somewhere around $7,000 or $8,000, which would barely cover administrative fees. Costs associated with doing that, I believe. And so it's not necessarily in the county's best interest to do that. And we haven't really had one of these large of a sales, I should say, in quite a number of years. So I want to thank the staff for putting that all together. And hopefully this is a real positive for the Parks Department. We plan on holding one of these sales twice a year. In the next batch, I understand that there'll be a couple that are designated for forestry. So those revenues will be generated, and then the forestry department has the opportunity to put those resources to good use by producing timber holdings within Josephine County or somewhere in the state. I believe it doesn't actually have to be in Josephine County. We can purchase land somewhere else. But the whole point is to generate revenue, to not have to increase taxes or fees to provide services for the county. And I think that there's a real potential revenue stream there that we frankly haven't done. We haven't divested ourselves of a forestry property, I don't want to say ever, but in recent memory. And we have 30,000 acres made up of probably 200 different parcels, 100 that we manage probably on a regular basis. But if you look at how the other counties are managing, Hood River, Douglas County, Coos County, I've toured two of those, Hood River County and Coos Counties. They're mostly contiguous. Coos is in two very large blocks, and Hood River is almost in one. And it makes it much, much easier to manage a forest timber holding if it's not on these. We have 88 different reciprocal right-of-way agreements with the BLM alone. We're the most complex system of ownership in 600 western counties. It just would make a whole lot more sense if we could manage large blocks of timberland as opposed to little bits and pieces here and there scattered all over the county. There is one positive of all that. We do distribute our liability with any one fire. So it did take quite a fire to wipe out all of our forestry holdings. But 2 years ago, we had the Douglas Complex, and 11% of our holdings, 2,600 acres, was impacted negatively in that fire. And so that is a real threat to Josephine County and our forest holdings. So get your park pass, volunteer, 8 hours of service, or a family of four, 2 hours of service. Sarah would love to have you come by and help out picking up trash and weeding or what have you. Our parks is kind of a gem, and it's somewhat unsung, and we need to provide ownership. So pick up the trash when you're out there. Don't just leave that to the limited staff that we have. Take ownership and enjoy them and be safe.
Commissioner Heck?
Yes. The Selma community, Selma area down there, and this Saturday is starting their movie drive-in project. And I'm sorry, I jumped ahead. I got so excited about the drive-in movie thing, I forgot about it. June 18th, this Saturday, is the Williams Community Forest Project. They're showing this behind the Emerald Curtain. Goes from 6 to 10. That's a sliding scale fee of $10 to $20 sliding scale. But they're showing this film behind the Emerald Curtain. Starts at 6 with a dinner. It has a separate cost for the dinner. And then 7 o'clock is the film is actually starting. And if you have any questions, WilliamsCommunityForestProject.org is the place to go. Now for the drive-in. Selma. They're starting on June 25th, Saturday night. Movie starts at 9:30 p.m., $10 per car. So if you believe in cramming them in, you can get in fairly cheap. And they say, please arrive early for ample parking. And they're going to be showing this on three times in July 16th, July 30th, and then this one on June 25th, Saturday. Cost is $10 per car, and this movie is Casper. So it's a good community project, good fun time, and if you're down at Selma area, might think about giving that a go.
Okay, thank you. All right, I have left out on the table out here, and it's also on our county website, the schedule of the town hall community meetings we're having on marijuana planning ahead. The next one is June the 23rd, 2016, 6:30 p.m. at the Ann Basker Auditorium right here. And the last one then will be Tuesday, June 28th at the Cave Junction Building. And that also is at 6:30 p.m., June 28th. Rogue Community College Small Business Development Center has released their summer schedule of classes. So anyone who is currently in business or planning to go in business, they have some good classes on mostly on bookkeeping, accounting, how to take care of your business. So they have series discounts when you're enrolling more than one person. And then they have some in finance and accounting, as well as technology, QuickBooks, all kinds of marketing classes. So if you are in business or thinking about going in business, the Small Business Development Center has these classes. The fees are fairly nominal. They do have individuals that will advise you on your business free of charge. So very good service to the community at the Small Business Development Center. Their website is www.roguecc.edu/sbdc. And you can also contact them by email, sbdc@roguecc.edu. So good community service for the people who are in business or considering going into business. And that's all I have today. Is that it? Okay. Mm-hmm. We are adjourned at 9:35.